Lord knows that, well, I'm going to be nice because it's Christmas. So I probably won't be really long tonight. I want to share a thought with you. And then I'm going to put a challenge to you when we finish. First, let me just say I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. Hope you get to spend some extra time with your family. Relax a little bit. And if by chance you're one of those people, maybe your home just isn't the greatest or the most peaceful place, I want you to remember the Lord is always with you. And you can call upon Him at any time. And I mean that, and I believe that. Luke chapter 2, verse 12, just one verse. Says, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And I know we prayed, so I want to preach to you for a few moments today in the title, The Spirit Behind the Gift. And you can be seated. My wife can just stick with me just for a few moments. Can't rush her out there too quick. All right, you're already here, so you're going to give me your attention? Okay. It's important that we see in this verse the first part of it, which is, this shall be a sign unto you. What does that mean? What kind of sign? You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. How is that a sign? What does that mean? If we see him lying in the manger, that's not a sign. That is evidence right in front of us. A sign is something that you get that isn't always physically obvious or readily obvious. And I believe this statement that when we find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, there's a sign that we're supposed to catch, something that we're supposed to understand, something that we're supposed to grasp. And that is what I want to share with you tonight. He wasn't just a gift to the world. We preach that and we teach it, and it becomes a very popular catchphrase around Christmas time. Jesus is the gift to the world. There's a problem with that. Most people never grasp what goes into a gift. If you're not careful, you can just be accustomed to taking and receiving gifts and moving on with life. I've said many times that when our kids were younger, one such Christmas I recall, I got very frustrated. I told my wife, that's it. Santa is not coming to our house next year. As they were ripping open the gifts, and it wasn't probably 15 or 20 minutes, one of those gifts were broken. It got tossed off to the side, and they moved on to the next one. And so as the parent, the one that paid for that gift, the one that spent time, or me or her and her, both of us were one, it doesn't matter, spent the time to go purchase and wrap that gift, I was frustrated because at their young age, they did not have a grasp or a comprehension of what that gift really meant. And so I would say to you tonight that this babe in the manger was not just a gift, but there was a sign to the world, something that we need to understand from this whole Christmas story. And I want to give you a brief thought on that tonight. First, when Christmas time comes around, it normally begins with a Christmas list. At some point, I see the list start to pop up on our refrigerator. And I know I wouldn't even need a calendar. I know Christmas is near. The wish list popped up. And to my, not to my surprise, that wish list normally is probably more than I could do in a lifetime. But that does not matter to the petitioner. The petitioner just has this blind faith thrown out there. You never know what you're going to get. I heard something recently from somebody, and it might have been one of you, I don't remember. They asked their mom what she wanted Santa to bring her for Christmas, and she gave some little, I don't know, maybe a bottle of lotion or something. They said, Mom, you don't waste a gift from Santa on like a bottle of lotion. You use Santa for the big gifts. The extravagant ones. I mean, like, how about a new car or something like that? And so it begins with the wish list. And then we have to decide, what are we going to spend? How much are we going to invest into this season? Do you decide per child? Do you just buy whatever you want to buy? Do you just spend until the credit card is maxed? Which we don't do that, but some people do. Do you take your rent money and your mortgage payment and just spend until it's gone and then hope you can figure that out next month? So there comes some time that you decide on what the investment will be into these gifts this season. And then when you figure that part out, you take the time and you drive the distance. If you live in Ashtabula County, it's a long distance. Unless you just want to go to Walmart or Drug Mart. That's cheap. Stop being so cheap. Drive to Niles, drive to Mentor, drive to Erie. But it takes time. Takes an hour there, an hour back. It takes gas. Pray the weather's good. You don't have to white knuckle the steering wheel the whole way there. Then you got to manage the crowds and deal with that. And if you're anything like me, you pull into the malls at certain times of the year and you see 1,000 cars. You're like, oh, I'm not dealing with this today. There ain't no Christmas worth it. That's just, no, uh-uh. Let's go Drug Mart. Thank God for Amazon. Praise God for Amazon. But it does take a lot of time and energy and investment into acquiring those once you have decided how much you're going to do or what you're going to do. Are you with me? And then we watch with excitement and anticipation. Well, I apologize. You got to wrap them first. Now, if you're as lucky as I am, you got a wife that just wraps like a mad machine. I don't wrap gifts. I've tried. You wouldn't want me wrapping them. I do wrap a couple, normally hers. And she asked me what toddler at the daycare wraps it. Her mother... You've never seen gifts wrapped like her mom can wrap them. I mean, flawless gift wrapping. Flawless corners. It's almost embarrassing that somebody is that good at wrapping gifts. But what I am saying is it takes time. And if you have more than one kid, or you have one kid and you spoil them to death, either way, you got a lot of wrapping to do. And then sometimes, you know, you go beyond the family to the extended family to wrap, and you got the whole picture. And then comes, here it is, Christmas morning. Everybody wakes up, they flood around the tree, and you watch with excitement, anticipation, as they start scouring the tree and looking for their gifts. And when they're younger, they're dumb enough to believe because it's bigger, it's better. I should just get them at this age. I should just get them like a big wheel and put it in the, but if that's the case, you just want a big box, I'll get you a big wheel or a tricycle or something. They wouldn't be very happy. And then, you know, I don't know how you all do it. Some of you have no control over your houses, so people just start tearing paper everywhere, and that's your idea of Christmas. That's not ours. We like to distribute them one at a time. Open them up. Take your time. Watch the others with excitement. Wait for your own. And there's a lot of fun that goes into that part. And you watch. And you know, of course, the prayer is when they open up, you don't see them. You hope their eyes get big and they get excited and they start to drool and whatever else. So let me back up if I can. First, we get the Christmas list. That's the petition. All across this world, every day of our lives, there are people that are petitioning God and don't even know it. Many of them do know, God, if you're real, do this. God, if you're real, can you make this happen? God, if you're real, give me a sign. And the list begins to go up to heaven. And then as the Lord takes note of the list, then he decided how much he was going to spend. That is the decision for Calvary. At that point, the Lord decided, I'm going to spend everything that I've got. And he came in Christ Jesus and gave his life at Calvary because that was the price he was willing to spend. Then you take the time and you drive the distance. Why? Because you love those who are going to receive. That's why you do it. And so he came from heaven to earth, and they called him Emmanuel. God now was with us. And that was the distance that he traveled. He was willing to go to any length and go anywhere in order to provide this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And then, of course, you have the gift wrapping to do of this gift, and that was Christ in a manger. And then the excitement and the anticipation. And that is what you see when a person comes to the altar and when they begin to pour their heart out to the Lord. As they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you begin to see a smile will come across their face. Tears will begin to flow down their cheeks. All sorts of emotions begin to overtake them. And I'm here to tell you that that is what was in what this Christ child in this manger was about. There was a lot of time and attention. There was a lot invested in that gift. It wasn't just a gift. If you don't teach people the spirit behind the gift, then we lose the reverence for the gift and the respect for the gift itself. And that's where you just tear them open, you break them, and you move on to the next thing. Because you don't understand how much work and how much money and how much time and how much investment went into that gift. The focus should never be about the gift, but the spirit behind the gift. As you get older, you understand. One year, Colin, who's sick tonight, he got me at school. He was probably in third grade, a little block of a 2x4 that they had cut, and he painted it yellow and black, and he put a little Christmas hat on it and put a Steelers emblem on it, and that was my gift, and I still have it, and we still put it out every year. It probably didn't cost a lot of money at all. It's probably not worth much, but it's worth something to me. Because I understood at his young age the spirit that went behind the gift. Every one of my kids, I could start pulling things out that they did or got me over the years. And when they were younger, it started at the Santa shop in school. A couple bucks, and they'd bring it home, and they'd wrap it up, and they'd watch with excitement as you opened it to see if you loved that gift or not. Why? Because there's that innocence of a child. And so you realize it's not really about the gift itself. But it's the spirit behind the gift. And as you get older and you understand that more, those little gifts mean so much more. It could have cost 50 cents, but it doesn't matter because it's the spirit behind the gift. And it's who gave the gift. When we present this gift of Christ to the world, I'm just going to be real with you tonight. You might as well speak a foreign language to them. You might as well just speak a language they don't know. Because it's nothing more than a religious scene to a lost world. It's nothing more than a ceremony or a story or a fable Because they don't have they don't grasp the gravity of this baby in the manger. They don't grasp the story and the life of Jesus and the death and the resurrection and the ascension. And they don't understand what the day of Pentecost was all about when God first poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And so when we just present this Christ child to the world, you might as well just give them a movie to watch, because that's really the extent of it, unless and until we can help them to understand the spirit behind this gift. It's more than just a nativity scene. It's more than just a Bible story. And I don't like to use that terminology together, because it cheapens the entire act of the birth of Christ and his life and his death and his resurrection. It's not a story. It's a reality. It's a fact. How do you know? Because I know, because I've lived it, because I've experienced it, because he's been more to me than what I ever imagined. He's done more for me than what I could have ever asked for. Tonight I was doing my radio message, and I was thinking about, it's something that I shared in Conneaut last week, the day that the Lord stepped in, and I begin to think about and share that account when I was 16 or 17 years old in that shed at our house. And I stood there by myself, and we hadn't been in church in years. I mean, we went to Sunday school for a couple of years when we were really young. And I looked up and I just said, you know, I'm going to do something great for God someday. We didn't talk God in my house. You know, that wasn't a part of our life at that point at all. But as I begin to ponder that, as I shared that story, I shared that was the day I knew that God stepped into my life. And to see from that moment until now what the Lord has done is absolutely astounding to me. It's hard to grasp what God has done over those 34 years. It's hard to understand how far God has taken me and what he has done, not only in my life, but in our home and in our family and our immediate family and all of that, because I understand what we're preaching about when we talk about the babe in the manger. But a lost world does not understand. They do not understand at all. And so we may not want to acknowledge it, but it's a reality. You might as well preach a foreign language to them. You can walk around wearing your shirts, Christ is King, all you want. You're nothing more than a religious wacko to a lost world. I'm going to help you with the answer, but I'm just telling you. Now, I know that some of you like to argue, and you're thinking, well, you don't know, Pastor, it's open up conversations, and that's good, and it might. But opening up the conversation doesn't negate what I just said to you. It may open up a conversation, and that conversation is the opportunity now to share more and give a greater understanding. But those things alone will not change our world around us. They won't do anything. And so we teach the meaning of Christmas when we show the spirit behind the gift. We help people understand that when we become the living example of Christ Jesus, that is how the world is changed. That is how people are healed. That is how somebody's life is turned around and set on a brand new course. And I won't do an adequate job of explaining this to you tonight, because in my opinion, it's too complex to explain. But let me just try to simplify it. First, we get the Christmas list. We see the needs out in the world, and then we decide how much we are willing to spend, how much we are willing to sacrifice. Now, let me just pause. You've got a good portion of Christianity. You can barely get them to church rather than them sacrifice themselves for the kingdom and for the work of the Lord. And when they do come to church, that is, in their mind, their sacrifice. But that is for them. That's for nobody else. Christ was not for God. He was for the world. And so when we decide that we will present this understanding and the spirit behind the gift to the world, that means I have to do something about it. And so I get the Christmas wish list. I decide what I'm willing to sacrifice and spend. And then I decide how much time I'm going to take and how far I'm going to drive. To put that into perspective, how far is too far to pick somebody up for church? Well, that's, you know, 20 minutes away. And your point is, you've just proven my point that you're not willing to go as far as Jesus was willing to go for you. And so when we ourselves understand the spirit behind the gift, something inside of us has to change. But then we wrap those gifts, we prepare it, and we present it, and we present it with excitement. Reaching the lost is not a drudgery. It's not something that we agonize about. It's not something that we complain about because it takes some time, my time away. I know. I just tend to believe that when we do it the way Jesus did it, there will be dinners interrupted. There will be family time interrupted. There will be plans interrupted. There will be time that is required. There will be sacrifice that is needed. There will be finances that are given. Why? Because we understand the spirit behind the gift, and we are willing to do and go as far as we can, just like Jesus was willing to. And then there's nothing like watching somebody pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing in the world that's more exciting. There's no gift that you'll ever open that when you watch somebody pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as the Spirit gives them the utterance, it is one of the most awe-inspiring things that you ever get to witness. And if you are partially responsible for bringing that person to the Lord, you will find tears flowing down your face, tears of joy and tears of awe, as you watch God do what God does. Because now the meaning of the babe in swaddling clothes is that much realer to you, because you see it now playing out in individual lives. It's not just a nativity that you set up from December 1st to January 1st, but it becomes real life. Now, Jesus loved people. Jesus drew crowds. Now, I'm going to talk for a minute. I'm not going to be much longer. Number one, if people go out of their way to avoid you, you need to do a reality check on your Christianity. Now, you might not know they got to avoid. How come so-and-so never talks to me? You might want to ask that question. And then don't get offended and get mad when you hear the answer. Jesus drew crowds. Now, watch this. I want to show you something. I won't be a whole lot longer. Jesus had no problem filling the church. But the church has a problem filling the church. Now, we're fairly fortunate. You know, I think our church, you know, for our size, we do a pretty good job. We normally have packed crowds on Sundays, but there's always open seats. There's always open seats. We're going to go build this new building next year. Well, we think it's just going to magically fill itself. We're just going to wait for some helpless victim to roll down the road that's about ready on the verge of suicide before they finally find the Lord because nobody brought them to them. But he had no problem drawing crowds. Do you know why Jesus had no problem drawing crowds? Because Jesus loved people. Now, what does it mean to love people? What does that mean? Well, if you're a parent, and maybe you can come play for me. If you're a parent, or you've raised other kids as your own, then you understand, and even as a new parent, you know, how is it possible to love a being that poops and vomits everywhere and cries all night long and keeps you up and won't let you sleep, but you love that being more than you love the person that walks through the doors of the church. How does that happen? Because when they come from your womb, there's just something there that's automatic. Now, I am praying that something in the spirit clicks tonight, and we're going to pray a special prayer when I'm finished. As a pastor, I've tried to say for years, I believe that there's a God connection. He says, I'll give you pastors after my own heart. And so there's a God connection. And so you love people, I mean, just like they're your own. You'll do anything for them. You hurt when they hurt. You cry when they cry. You cry when they just slip away like the prodigal. And sometimes the grief is just too much to bear. But see, God makes a connection. How does the body connect on that same level? And I've shared many times, and I know it's just a story to you, but I can still see it as if it was yesterday. Whenever I was at conferences, I would watch Brother Norm Pasley. I'd watch him mingle with people, and I intently watched the way he talked to people. I watched the words he used. I listened to the gentleness of his voice with every person, and it was so genuine and so real. And I remember the day I sat there and I said, God, I want to love people the way he loves people. And if there's no other reason that he was a part of our lives, I wish he were alive for me to tell him that your love for people changed my life. It changed my understanding of loving people. And you gave me a benchmark to strive for. And so I prayed for that. And I prayed for it. It's one thing to love your own. I'm going to get in your business for a second. Some of you overly sensitive people, especially moms too, I ain't going to lie to you. Well, you moms, man, you let somebody say one cross thing to their child, and man, they're just peeling their skin off to get at you. Some of the moms look at me like, yeah, I'm going to come at you too. What you got to say now? I got a question for you. Why wouldn't you feel the same way about anybody sitting in your church? That is what it means to love the way Jesus loved. When God placed himself, he took himself. Now, it's been a couple years, but I need you to work with me for a second. Can you hold that for me? Give me that baby. When God took himself, he took himself and he gave himself to mankind. Here you are. I am giving myself to you. You can mistreat him if you want. You can despise him if you want. Many did. You could kill him if you want, because they did. But he gave himself to mankind. That's the greatest act of love you could do, to give yourself and trust yourself with other people. And so the question becomes, you know, how do we love people that same level of love that Jesus did? Not, oh, you buy them a gift card because they say they're broke. Listen, folks, you got the wrong guy. Now, I might be ugly, but I'm not dumb. I'm just kidding. I'm not ugly either. Maybe a little bit. I know some of y'all, you act like fools with your money. I know some of y'all got secret drinking problems. I've been around the block a lot longer than most of you still have lived, and I'm only 53. I can tell habits of drug abuse, and I can tell habits of alcoholism. Some of you, you're sick more than half the hospital at one time. Abzek said, no, you're not. You liar. That's your problem. You're not sick. Got him? You say, well, what are you saying? Well, so I'm saying love is not, it's not always giving, you know, things to people. We've been in houses over the years where people just pour clothes because the kids look poor, and you'd go in and just mountains of clothes. No exaggeration, mountains. Couldn't walk through houses, mountains. That's not love. But I'll tell you what love is. Love is when you want to defend other people the way you want to defend your own family. When you want to protect them and pray for them the same way you want to pray for your own family. When you want to do for them just as much as you want to do for your own family, because the love of Christ knows no boundaries. The love of Christ does not have favorites. The love of Christ it's probably not a secret that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary when she conceived, because he was not bound by a family like Mary and Joseph, meaning he's not going to love them more than he loved the wise men. And he's not going to love them more than he loved the centurion that put him on the cross. His love knows no bounds. So what I'm asking you today, for us to be able to preach the spirit behind the gift to the world, if we're going to be able to fill up the new building, the only thing we have to do is learn to really, really, really love people. Don't treat someone else's child with contempt and you treat yours with compassion. That's not love. I mean, that might be love on your own local level. That's not the love of God. That's not the love of Christ at all. Loving another I don't know how I can better relay this. It's gonna take those of you that are here tonight and those of you that are too lazy to come and you're still sitting at home, it's gonna take all of us. Love you. They're not watching. What are you laughing for? They're not even watching the service. I'm just having fun at their expense. Don't worry about it. To really ask God over this next year, God, you have to teach me how to love the way you loved. For that to be the number one, because when you love people that way, nobody's too dirty. Nobody's too ugly. Nobody's too stinky. Nobody's too broken. Nobody's too crazy. Nobody's too black. Nobody's too white. When you really love people the way Jesus did, it's impossible not to love people deeper. So what I'm asking you to do is I'm asking you, I don't care where you think you are in your walk with God right now. I'm asking you, wherever you think you are, to ask God to help you how to love the way he loved. To understand the spirit behind the manger, the spirit behind the gift. It wasn't about just giving. It was about how much went into that gift. Not knowing how the gift would be treated or received. You hope they receive the gift. Imagine being Jesus, knowing that you're hanging on that cross for anybody and everybody, but yet some of those very same people sit there and mock you as you hang there dying. But you know what? He didn't rebuke them. He didn't reprimand them. He didn't chastise them. He did nothing, but he still hung and he died for them too. That is the love of Jesus. Because when you love the way Jesus did, compassion takes over everything. And your compassion gives you more patience with people. Your compassion gives you a deeper understanding of people. I've always said, and you've heard me say this 1,000 times. See, the Lord, don't take my iPad yet. The Lord, he knows. Now watch this. Am I boring you? Okay, just watch this. How do you love the world at large when we see there's so many horrible people? And there's so many people that do horrible things. And much of the world can't grasp that, and so they can't process how Jesus could love a rapist like he loves you, who've never even stole a piece of bubble gum from somebody. And pay the same price for the same gift. People can't understand that. But do you know why? Do you know how God does that? I'm going to tell you how. Because he saw them before they fell into sin. He saw them before they fell into brokenness. He saw them before they suffered at somebody's hands and became bitter and hateful towards the world. He saw them in their purest moment of life. He saw the innocence of them as a child before the world ruined them. And he knows who they really are at heart. And the person they are today is not who they were. That is how you love people. You cannot love people until you're willing to look beyond who they are right now, beyond their sin, beyond their ugly, beyond the hurtful words they've spoken. You cannot love people until you're willing to look. Jesus looks beyond all of that. And if we could do that, I'm telling you, how did Jesus draw crowds? Because they knew he loved them. I'm telling you, if you care at all about growing the church and getting people prepared for eternity, if you care at all, then you'll pray that prayer and you'll say, God, in 2026, you have got to teach me how to love people more than I ever have loved people before. And when you do, now, other than times when you're tired or you're weary, and that happens, we're human. But when you do what Jesus did. You go take a nap, somebody comes with a need. You get up, you meet the need. You need a vacation, somebody comes with a need, you meet the need. At all hours of the day, there's needs. You try and meet those needs. I'm trying to put it into perspective a little bit. What I'm trying to say is, you know, you can have, and I'm finishing, you can have fun as a family. You can reach people as a family. You don't have to leave your family behind. Hey, honey, instead of going on a date tonight, why don't we go over and visit that family across the street? Why don't we go visit those people who haven't been in church in a week or two? And you'll never, that's the excitement of opening the final product, the gift. After all the work you've put in, after all the sacrifice, the day comes and you watch and you see their face brighten up. There's one of these young girls here from the daycare. I'm not going to tell you her life. I know a little bit about it. She's always, now maybe she's different with the girls because they see her every day, but she's always very, very shut up and very reserved. And she don't talk, no matter how many times I've tried to talk to her. And ever since the last several services that Alexis brought them, I've noticed it just start to open up. And when I walked in tonight, she got a big smile on her face. She came over to give me a hug. She wouldn't even talk to me before. Now, what I'm saying is, when you can get past people's pain, and you can love them until you get past it, eventually people will be drawn to you. You won't have to beg them to come to church because they want to be there. You know why they want to be there? First, they want to be around you. And then they want to be around what they feel. The other little girl, she says to me, she told me, I think yesterday, she says, I think I'm coming to church tomorrow night. I said, good, I hope you do. She said, I hope the same thing doesn't happen to me that happened to me last week. I said, what happened to you? She said, well, when I went up, I just kept crying and I couldn't stop crying. And I put my hands very gently on her cheeks and I said, you're crying because Jesus loves you and he knows where your pain is. And when you come into that altar, he gets to your heart and he wants to heal you of your pain, and that's where the tears come. And I watch her as her lip just quivered. And she tried to fight back from crying right there. Why? I don't know. I don't know the story. I don't know the whole story. But I know, but when you love people, you'll win people. And when you win people, you're kingdom-minded. And when you're kingdom-minded, heaven is excited, and God will bless, the church grows, and we just get to watch people open their gifts. And there's nothing in the world that's more exciting than that. So, I would like us to pray, if you'd stand. My kids get annoyed at me a lot. I don't understand it. But they get annoyed at me because sometimes, especially Cole, he's macho, he's tough. And sometimes they come walking down the hall and I just stare at them. And like, what? I didn't say anything. Why are you staring? What they don't understand is I just love them so much, I like to just stare at them sometimes. I do. I like to just stare at them. They're not perfect. And Liam, you're part of the family, bud. They're not perfect. Never said they were. Neither was I. Neither are you. And I know this is going to be the revelation of the night, but neither are your kids. Except Liam. And so I hope that I relate to them, that I just love them that much. That I just get excited still. I get excited just to be in my kids' presence. And then my extended family, which is the church. Some days when I'm having a really ugly day, you know what I want to do? I know you're going to think I'm dumb. You're going to think I'm crazy. I want to come into the daycare. You know why? Because I know most of these girls, there might be a couple that they waver back and forth in loving me, but most of them love me. And honestly, I just feel good just being in their presence. And then church. I get to come to church. I don't have to come to church, Brother Brad. And I get to come. And not only do I get to come, but I get to be around the people that I love the most in this entire world. I get to see your faces week after week. And I know when you tell the story, you're like, I got to see his face week after week. But I mean that. I get to see your faces. Some of you, if you're watching, you didn't come tonight and you ruined my evening. It's your fault. Why? Because I just love the people that God has placed in our church, everyone. I know some of you, if you felt like you've probably been such a burden, I've had people say that to me. Oh, I was so, you know, blah, 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 blah. I feel so bad the way, you know, you had to deal with me last year. Don't feel bad. It's frustrating sometimes, but when you love people, that's what you do. You tell them we're going to walk through this valley together. We're going to get through this trial together. We're going to come out of this on the other side better people, both of us, because God will teach us both in it. When you love people, there are very few downsides to it. You have down days, but not many downsides. So, we're going to pray. Actually, Brother Jerome's going to come up and lead us in prayer. He didn't know it till just now. And Brother Kenny is going to pray for God to teach him to love people more than just as much as he loves his own child. And Brother Jerome is going to pray for God to teach him to love people how he loves his own child. And every one of us here are going to pray that God will teach us how to love people just as much as we love whoever the closest person is to you. Mother, father, pastor, maybe. And if I'm pleading with you to make that your prayer for 2026. If you pray it, God will do it. You'll be a different person. You'll love on a whole different level. And you won't know what to do with yourself. You love people so much. That's the truth. And then we like Jesus. Then we learn how to forgive because we love. And we learn how to not hold grudges because we love them. And we learn how to not want to see people lost because we love them that much. And then that drives us. Brother Drone, come on up. Lead us in prayer. And they can get ready with a song if they want.
Can we lift our hands and can we pray together? Lord, I'm so thankful for the word that we heard tonight. And I pray, God, over each and every saint in this house, Lord. God, as we lift our hands, as we speak to you tonight, I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts, God. Check our hearts, God. Check our minds. Lord, that we may love people, God, the same way that you love them. God, be able to look at them the same way that you look at them. Look through all the mess and look through all the trauma. Look through all the trial, God, and see the innocence that you once seen. I pray, God, if we have loved ones, God, that are out there in the world, Lord, we know what they're going through. We've seen the trials. We've seen the garbage. But I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, God, help us see them the way that you see them. God, we're believing to see a revival like we've never seen before. God, we're believing to save, God, each and every saint, each and every lost one, God, in Jefferson, Ashtabula, and Conneaut. And God, if we're going to do that, we need to love people the way that you do. God, if we're going to see them filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, God, it's going to take us loving them the same way that you do. God, if we're going to see them baptized in Jesus' name, God, marriages restored, home restored, God, loved ones in the house of God today, seeking your face, Lord, for the first time. God, it's going to take saints of God, children of God, loving them the same way that you do. And I pray, God, as we continue to move forward, as we continue to grow, as we continue to walk with you, Lord, every day, God, check our hearts, God. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding, Lord, and teach us how to love like you. Teach us how to reach, Lord, for those people just like you reached for us. God, you found us where we were broken, when we were busted, God, where we were falling apart. God, you loved us so much, and you've carried us this far. But I pray, God, we would return that gift, God, to the lost people, Lord, in our areas, God, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, God, in our jobs, in just our county, Lord. I pray, God, more than ever, Lord, God, that we would have a love, God, that we just can't explain. But that it was just from you, Lord, and you taught us how to love like you. I pray, God, this all in your mighty name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's continue to pray.
Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, Majesty. just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out, because you're holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, King of Kings. Jesus, Majesty.
Before we leave, would you find one person to go pray with? Find one person. Look around, look behind you back there. See if you see people alone. Just pray with them, that's all. You don't have to pray for them, just pray with them. Join with them. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Forever.
I would suggest that this is the atmosphere and the spirit that was in that stable around the manger on the night that Jesus was born. Why? Because God brought love into the world. Two scriptures I'm going to give you and we'll close, we'll dismiss. Proverbs 10 and 12 says, "Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins." Love does not keep account, just like the Lord doesn't keep account. And my favorite, Psalms 147 and 3, "He healeth the broken heart, the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds." You said it doesn't say anything about love. God is love. God is love. And love heals. What am I saying? If you genuinely care about people, you love people, you want to see a harvest. If you'll love them, love will heal them. Love will draw them. And love will give them the hope that they need to just go forward and understand what the church really is all about. Amen. I don't want to close, so I'm going to let you, you can stay here as long as you want. We'll just pray a quick prayer dismissal, but I need you to do me a favor when we're done. I need you to pick up your phone. I need you to go directly to the YouTube page. Look at people beside you, and if you don't see them doing it, tell them. And I need you to at least like our videos. We need to get people, if you'll start liking our videos, it will promote our page and our channel. And so I need you to please do that. It's not a small thing. Lord, I love you. I thank you for your love. God, it's the only thing that's brought me to this place in my life. Give us this year a greater understanding of God's love and help us to love, Lord, the way you love. Unmatched, unparalleled, unquestionable. The love of Jesus is the greatest thing in this world. Lord, I pray that every family here and those on that are watching online, those who aren't here, aren't watching, God, let them have a Merry Christmas. Time with family, fill your precious love, God, your peace, which is the only peace in this world. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.